Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. Paul says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we," speaking to believers, "when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for your word tonight. It is so good to be able to read it, to hear it, and a blessing to be able to study it. Because we know these are your words to us and for us. So God, give us spiritual ears to hear, that your words may go forth with power. They would pierce our hearts. Truth would settle in and we would love it. We would desire it. We would accept nothing but it. So God, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to these things. Help us to see them clearly so that we may see you clearly. We pray that you would show us your glory, that you would enable us to see it and to rejoice in it. It is good. It is good to be a child of God. And we thank you that we are your children because of you. So help us to be grateful and thankful for what we have in Christ. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Through the first three chapters of Galatians, especially in chapter 3, Paul has been contrasting the law given to Moses and the promise given to Abraham. The contrast is really between living under the law and living by faith. The contrast is thinking you are saved by keeping the law, contrasted with the truth that you are saved only by faith in Christ. So the law, Paul has explained to us, the law is like a prison warden or a schoolmaster that controls and disciplines God's people till they come to Christ. So when we look at verse number 1, Paul says, "Now I say," which simply means that he is going to explain further what he has already said. "Now I say that the heir has to be a what? Usually an heir is what? A child. The heir, as long as he is a child, under an age, differs nothing from what? A servant. So heir child servant. Though he be what? Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time, there's a time appointed by who? The Father. So an heir of an inheritance, as long as he is a child, is treated like a servant, though he be Lord of all. He is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father that he would receive the inheritance. Then he makes this application. Even so, we believers, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The idea here is that there is a wealthy man who has put his son, his heir, under the care of guardians. That was typically done by the wealthy in biblical days. The son knows that he is going to inherit his father's estate, but he doesn't own it quite yet. The heir is absolutely Lord of all, which means that his father's land and his father's belongings belong to him by title, but yet not by possession. He doesn't possess them, he doesn't gain them until a certain time has come to pass, until the heir comes to a certain age. Paul says he has about as much freedom as a common slave. He has no legal rights, no property rights. He has a guardian, a tutor, a governor that has him under strict discipline. The child is told when to wake up. He is told when to go to school. He is told what to wear, how to behave, and when to go to bed. He also has a trustee assigned to manage his property, especially if the father has already deceased. So what Paul says here is that the heir, although he is the rightful heir of everything that his father has, until he comes to that certain age that the father has appointed, he may have felt more like a slave than a son. But it was all for his good. What seemed like bondage was necessary to bring this child to full maturity. Now, eventually he's going to receive the inheritance, but it will be in keeping with the date that has legally been established by the father. Now, the point that Paul is making with this analogy is that the law plays a similar role in our salvation. We were children, even so when we were children, we were enslaved or in bondage to the elements of the world. By that phrase, elements of the world, he means the law, the elementary principles of God's law that govern the world, the basic principles of God's will. That's what the law is. So when we were children, we were in bondage under the law, or the elements, the principles of God's law. So Paul says here that the law is like elementary school for the people of God. This is where foundational things are taught in elementary school. The basic things are taught at this elementary level. And what elementary school does is what the law does. It prepares the student for what is to come later. Now, when we make the mistake of elevating the law like it is being done in the churches at Galatia. It is like saying that the law is not elementary school, but the law is graduate school for the gospel. But I want to remind you that Paul is arguing that the gospel doesn't prepare you for the law prepares you for the gospel. And you can't switch that truth around without making a huge mistake. To go back, for these Galatians to go back to the law after receiving the gospel is like a PhD graduate going back and repeating kindergarten and learning his ABCs all over again. Spiritual maturity means advancing beyond the law. So Paul says, the law treats us like slaves. It tells us what to do, when to do, how to do, what not to do. And while we wait for the appointed time, we have to be treated like this. But the truth is that we have always been sons. Say amen. Look at verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So what brought God's people out of this slavery into sonship was God's Son, right? We are under the law until what? Until the fullness of time was come. What was that? When God sent forth His what? Son. So, when the fullness of time came, when the time the Father had appointed came, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, there are six things here that we need to look at that Paul gives us concerning Christ. Number one, number two, number three. Let me go back to here. Fullness of time, God sent, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Six things. So let's look at those real quick. The time of His coming, the time of the coming of Christ, was fixed by the Father. The time when the Son would come, the time when all of God's children would receive their inheritance, is determined by the Father. Say amen. God came at exactly the right point in human history when God was ready for His coming. The reason that Christ came 2,000 years ago and didn't come in 2020 is because God had ordained that 2,000 years ago was the exact time when His Son should come. The time was ordained, the time was determined, the time was fixed by the providence of God. And the time when Jesus came was the exact time that the Father fixed it for Him to come. In other words, there was never a better time for Jesus' coming than when He came. Number two, Jesus is the Son of God. The fact that Jesus was sent means that He existed before His birth in Bethlehem. And His sending reveals to us His divine nature. God sent forth His Son, equal to the Father in glory and in might. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. He has lived with His Father in eternity past. And when the time came, God sent forth His Son from heaven to earth. Number three, Jesus was fully human. Sent forth His Son made of a woman. He was born of a virgin. He was fully God and fully man. He was a human being. God became man. Jesus comes, takes on our flesh with all of its temptations, with all of its aggravations, and with all of its weaknesses. Christ has two natures. He has a divine nature and He has a human nature. But His human nature is not a sinful nature. It is because that Christ is made of a woman and is fully man that He is able to be the Savior of men. Number four, Jesus was made under the law. Jesus was born a Jew, therefore He was bound to obey God's law in its entirety. By birth, He was required to keep the law of God. So, we see Christ circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. Help me? We know that He never broke a single law of God, right? He followed the biblical pattern of worship. He kept the feast. He celebrated Passover. He did everything the law required. He even died under the law. So His coming, God sending forth His Son, His coming meant accepting the penalty of death that His people deserved because they broke it. And when Christ came under the law, it means that He came under the law's curse. Amen? And He not only kept the entire law for His people, He also suffered the punishment due to His people for their sins. Number five, Jesus came to redeem them that were under the law. The Bible says, and Paul said earlier in this book, that Jesus rescues us from this present evil age. And He does rescue us, doesn't He? But we have to also understand that Jesus came to redeem us. The word redeem here means to release a slave by the payment of a price. So God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, so that He might release slaves by a payment of a price. Who are the slaves? We are. And when Jesus died on the cross, He was paying for our freedom. He paid the ultimate price. When God sent His Son, know this, when God sent forth His Son, He knew that He was going to die. The reason Christ was born is so that He could what? Die. I do want to remind you that Christianity is not just about stables and straw and mangers. It's about thorns, nails, wood, and blood. This coming of Christ cannot save us unless there's also the death of Christ in which He redeems us. So Jesus redeems us from the law. He redeems us from the law's curse. And what qualified Him to redeem us from the law is the fact that He was born a a man and kept the law perfectly. He is uniquely qualified to be man's redeemer. And then number six, Jesus came so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ's coming had a redeeming factor, had a rescuing factor, and had an adopting purpose as well. God sent His Son for the purpose of dying on the cross, for the purpose of making you and I sons and daughters of God. You see that? It is a wonderful two verses. God had appointed a time. And when that time came, God sent forth His divine only begotten Son to be birthed in a virgin by the power of the Spirit of God, made under the law and under the law's curse, so that He may go to the cross and He may give up His life voluntarily and sacrificially there, so that He might pay the price, so that we that are enslaved and under bondage to the law can be freed, so that once freed we might be adopted into the family of God. I'm here to tell you, this was on God's mind when He set the time. When Jesus was on the cross, I was on His mind. But let's go back farther than that. When God set the time, I was on His mind as well. Say amen. So, it is Christ making us sons and daughters, Christ accomplishing our adoption as well as our redemption. It is wonderful that Christ releases us from slavery. It is wonderful that He rescues us from captivity to the law and redeems us from its curse. But God did more than that. Once Christ had gained our freedom, He gathered us up as His family. He went farther than redemption. He went to adoption. He not only frees slaves, but He makes those slaves sons and daughters. So if we continue to serve God out of some duty, or if we continue to add our work of the law to His work, we simply show that we don't understand what Christ has done for us on the cross. Simply don't understand it. Christianity is not bondage. Christianity is freedom. Because Christ has bought us from slavery and made us sons and daughters. Our being in God's family, listen, our being in God's family does not depend on our works. Say amen. This ought to make you real happy right now. This is the gospel. Our sonship, our adoption does not depend on our works as if we somehow have to earn our keep. No, once God made us His children, we are forever His children. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child, forever I am. Somebody help me. We don't have to do anything to remain God's children. What does Justin and Kelsey have to do to be my children? They may disappoint me. They may anger me. They may sin against me. But you know what they always will be? My children. They don't have to do anything to stay my children. That's the way it is with us and God. we are His children by the work of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us and adopted us into the family. There's nothing for us to do to be in the family or stay in the family. So we don't try to do something to stay God's children. Christ made us God's children. It's done. And we all ought to say, hallelujah. Look at verse number 6. Let's just go back. Let's look at that one again. Oops. I just want you to see that one again. Great two verses. Those two verses are great. Say amen. All right. See the greatness? Say it's great. Say they're great. All right. We can move on then. All right. Verse 6. It gets better. God set a time, sent His Son, be born of a woman, right? Under the law, to redeem those who were under the law and make them and adopt them into God's family, to make them sons and daughters. Now, and because ye are what? Sons. Now, this is going to get good, all right? If you got any Pentecostal in you at all, this is going to get crazy right about now. And because ye are sons, God has done something more. You with me? He has sent forth His what? Spirit. And He hasn't sent the Spirit into the world as He did His Son. He has sent His Spirit where? Into your hearts. And when the Spirit comes into your hearts after being sent by God, it what? Or He what? I'm sorry. It's not it. He what? He cries, Abba Father. Because how did we get to be sons? The work of Christ. So because of what Christ has done to bring you into God's family, because ye are sons, God has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts. God has sent His Son for us. Now He sends His Spirit to be in us. You're not getting it yet. You will. He sent His Son to make us the children of God, and now He sends His Spirit to let us know that we are truly, really the children of God. So the Spirit is referred here as the Spirit of His Son, which I think shows the closeness and the intimacy and the unity of the Godhead. The persons of the Trinity are in unity with one another. The work of the Trinity here is in perfect unison. So the Son brings us into a relationship with the Father, and the Spirit works to seal that family tie. Amen. Father, Son, Spirit, all working together to make us the true sons and daughters of God. So here's the question. How do you know? How does the Spirit assure you that you are the children of God? The answer is because the Spirit lives in us, calling Him Father. And not just calling Him Father, but crying out to Him as Father. What does that mean? God's work on the cross in His Son, Jesus Christ, redeems us and adopts us into His family. Then the Spirit is sent forth to come into our hearts, and that Spirit, once in us, cries out, Abba, Father. So when we cry out to God for salvation, when we cry out to God for forgiveness, when we cry out to God for salvation, it is the cry of our hearts that are already filled with the Spirit of God. And if you will grasp that, if you will get what Paul's saying here, it will give you the order of salvation theologically. It is not faith and repentance that precede regeneration, but faith and repentance are the fruits of regeneration. How do you know that you are a child of God? How do you know you have been redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ? Because the Spirit of God was put in you and you cried out to the Father for forgiveness and for salvation. That was the Spirit. Say amen. And we cry out, not as to some fearful being. We cry out to Daddy. Understand this. I can remember the day that I cried out to God for salvation. I told you, it was a Saturday morning. I went to the pastor's house. I knocked on the door. I told him I needed to be saved. He and I knelt at his couch, and I cried out to my Father for salvation. But now, all these years later, I realize it wasn't me. It was the Spirit that God sent in me. The Spirit that He put in me cries out to the Father. It was God's work that put that desire to have Him in my heart. It's God's work to put those words on my lips. It is the Spirit that enables us to cry out to Him, Abba Father. If this has happened, you have cried out to Him by the Spirit, you have all rights as children. We don't need to do anything to receive that. We don't need to do anything to stay in the family. We belong to God's family. Say amen. We are sons already. We are Lord of all already. Somebody help me. We already have our sonship. We already share in the inheritance of Abraham. That is secure. Why? Because we have been adopted into the family. It is a wonderful truth. The inheritance is for sons. Wherefore thou art no more a what? No more a servant. Remember, servants were under the law. No more a servant, you're a son. And if you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Unbelievable. It doesn't come by keeping the law. It comes by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Somebody help me. We are the children of God by the work of the triune Godhead, not by our own efforts and our own works. We don't work our way into the family of God. Circumcision and keeping dietary laws don't make us the children of God. It is foolish to think that they could. Sonship is secured by the Son. Sonship is secured by the Son. My sonship has been secured by the work of Jesus Christ alone, and it is assured to me by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. Our sonship is based entirely on the work of redemption by the Son of God, and the Spirit of God confirms it by enabling us to cry out to God, Father, save us. Servants say, Lord. Sons say, Daddy. Say amen. So this is the picture I get. And I'm done. Because of what Christ has done, Jesus pulls us into His lap. Our God pulls us into His lap because of what Christ has done. And God looks us in the eyes and he says this: you will always, always be my child. And we look back, smile, and say to him, and you will always, always be my daddy.
Amen.
And what a glorious, tremendous truth that is. Amen.